We've been in Romans 14 for a couple of weeks, and let's just go to Romans 14 this morning and go to verse 1. And we've touched on judgment. I had every intention of being through this 2 weeks ago, but then I just, you know, started talking about different kinds of things as in judgment, and how we need to judge as an individual, and things that we don't need to judge as an individual. But also, it started off with the fact that we are going to give an account as a body of believers. A lot of believers today feel like that, well, we're saved, there's no judgment. Well, let me tell you, there is a judgment. There is an absolute judgment that we're accountable for, and how terrible it would be to be ignorant of that judgment, to the fact that not realizing what Christ did for us and where our motivation ought to be anyway. But let me tell you, in saying that, just being straight with you, I get so caught up in the last few months, oh my goodness, just life throws things at you, or there are things in life that there are consequences for whether you're involved or not involved. And we become very busy and extremely busy in things that maybe we need to fix or maybe we need to do. But there's some things we just become busy about. And it's very easy to start trusting in the flesh and not being conscious of what's most important. And those are the things that we're accountable to, that God expects us to be accountable to. And that we should be excited about the fact that He is in us. And we are a new creature. Right. And so in Romans chapter 14, I'll turn there myself, in verse 1 we'll read. Where God says, "Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things. Another, who is weak, eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother?" And we talked about that word "naught," just making one worthless, okay, of no value, okay? And he says, "For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." By the way, that "all" still means everybody. Okay? Verse 11, "For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way." To me, as I read this, I see as verse 10 being very key. Not that all the other verses aren't important, but something that just strikes me that is extremely important for us to remember. And in verse 10 it says, "But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." To me, verse 10 is the fact that all that he shared so far about whether we judge in meat or in days or whatever comes down to this point. We're all going to stand. There is a day you can ignore it all you want. You can act like, well, you ever seen a kid that they act like they know they're in trouble? I'm sitting here speaking to my, act like a kid. I'm thinking of myself. You know, there's just things in life that we know we're in trouble for, and we keep trying to ignore it, like, you know, or things in life that we know we ought to do, you know, and and we don't do it, we procrastinate instead of just doing it, you know. And the issue is here, you know, it reminds me that for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We can ignore it all we want, but it's the truth. Amen? It's going to happen. Now, the last few weeks we talked about judging one another. A couple of weeks ago we spoke about the areas that there's some things that are just debatable, that there's no sense in wasting our time on with another brother about whether it's preference or not. Okay, there's just some things that are preference that are not that important. And we don't need to judge each other about those things. It's not an issue. God has received the one that's weaker, and He's received the one who is stronger. There's some things that we can just differ in good conscience. Eating meat is an example, or days that are set aside, whether what day we worship or whatever, because every day should be the same. And then, of course, as we read, it speaks in this same chapter that we're all going to be judged by the Lord. Then last week we spoke of things that are biblically clear. It's just absolutely clear as can be. And it was through the Word that we're to judge. There are some things that may be debatable, but there are some things that are just absolute truth in the way that we judge, the way we live our life. And it's by the Word. The things we spoke of dealing with relations with other believers. First of all, we need to judge ourselves, right? There's some things through the Word, as we read the Word, we need to judge ourselves by. We need to judge doctrine. What's truth? What's not? I mean, to read the Scriptures and to know what they speak of. Those things are important. And it's all done by what? By the Word of God. Not by what somebody says and not by how I feel or what I think, but by the Word of God. That's how we judge things. That's how we know whether to judge something or not to judge something that may be debatable. We use the Word and the clarity of the Word. We're to judge between right and wrong, and the Scripture's clear about that. In truth and in error. We judge those things. But I want to look at the judgment of the believers, what's called the judgment seat of Christ this morning. We've talked about those other two things. Go to verse 11, Romans 14, verse 11, and look again. In Romans 14, 11, it says, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." Now, this is the judgment. And verse 12 speaks of an account. Okay? This judgment, though, has nothing to do with your sin. So many people in churches today will bring up this judgment and they attach it to your sin. Okay? This account has nothing to do with your sin. Okay? At all. And that's what we're going to look at. A lot of people think judgment, they all of a sudden they think sin. It has nothing to do with your sin. This judgment has nothing to do with it. Your sin was judged already. Where at Calvary. So this judgment he speaks of has nothing to do, once again, with your sin. That was judged at Calvary. Okay? The penalty at Calvary was what? What's the penalty for your sin? It's death, which Jesus Christ took care of. So to take away the heebie-jeebies from any young person here this morning, as I grew up scared to death of the judgment, okay, as a saved person that was young, it had nothing to do with my sin that's already been judged at Calvary. Okay? Already been taken care of. By the way, saved or not, that judgment has already been taken care of at Calvary. People today are so consumed with forgiveness and whether they're sinner or whether they can never be saved because they've been so bad in their life, when the issue has already been judged at the cross. Sin's not the issue at all when it comes to this judgment. And today, people all over America and everywhere speak of this judgment, and then they tell people to come to the altar and ask for forgiveness. Well, that's deceptive. And that leaves the lost person lost, is what it does. Does this judgment speak to that? Not at all. This account is a different account. Okay? And so, Jesus Christ paid the judgment of sin. God made Him to be what? Sin for us, didn't He? He died for our sins. He who knew no sin. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And let's look at verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21 says, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." So we see here, this judgment that's spoken of in Romans has nothing to do with your sin. The judgment of sin has already been taken care of, and Christ became that sin. He paid that death penalty. He paid that judgment that you deserve. Okay? That was the mercy and the grace we spoke of a few Wednesday nights ago. And so, sin isn't the issue. They were forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. Now, whether you go to heaven or hell has no dependency then with what you do in your flesh, does it? Whether you go to heaven or hell depends nothing on what you do in your flesh, whether you're sinful or not. It can't. There's no dependency upon that, but people today will read Romans chapter 14 and they'll base you as an individual whether you're a sinner or not when He became sin for us. And the dependency on whether you go to heaven or hell has nothing to do with how big a sinner you are at all. It's taken care of at the cross. Now, I'm going to tell you, share that this week with somebody and you're either going to get in a fight or they're going to think you're crazy. But the Scriptures is by what we judge by, right? You either have to judge by the Scriptures or how somebody thinks about you or what you think. I'm sorry, I'm going by the Scriptures. They're clear and precise. Somebody gets mad about it, they get mad about it. But I'm basing my hope in what Christ did and not the measuring of my sin. I mean, if I measured them, I mean, I'd probably measure them up against Anna or something. I'd feel a little bit better about it. Just a little joke. You know, whether you go to heaven or hell depends on what you're trusting in for your salvation. It's not sin. You're either trusting in what you did or totally and completely in what Jesus Christ did at Calvary when He died for your sins. So that's the judgment of sin, and it's not the issue for the believer. It's not the issue for the unbeliever. The issue when it comes to judgment, whether you go to heaven or hell, is the issue of what you totally trust in. It isn't about the judgment to believers, which is spoken of in Romans chapter 14. That a lot of people make it about sin, where sin's not even the issue in Romans 14. That judgment was already paid, and they trust in that fact is what a believer does. At the judgment seat of Christ, believers are judged for their work, that what we do for Christ's sake. Not what we do to show our faith. Not what was done in times past and what they were called to do, showing their faith. We do works for Christ's sake. Okay? Not for our sake, not for our glory, but for the glory of Christ. And that's what I was speaking of a while ago. Motivation in a person tells a lot about that person, doesn't it? They do it for Christ's sake because it's who they become, that new creature. Or they do it for the sake of themselves, thinking that they're earning measuring points. Or they do it to gain their own glory. I get tickled at Ruth every Wednesday night. Whether it's good or not, I don't know. But I get tickled because Ruth will come up to me every Wednesday night. I spoke one week about how your glory that you receive, what you receive, will either be here on earth or it's in heaven. It's toward heaven. It's the reason every week on prayer breakfast comes up to me and says out loud how good a job I do. You know, just kidding. We have that joke going back and forth. And I'll kid when I say, would you shut up? You know. It was funny when she did it. But anyway, it's funny. But at the judgment seat of Christ, believers are judged for their work, that what we do for Christ's sake. Go to Ephesians chapter 2 and look at verse 10. A lot of people have the feeling that when you share that, hey, we're free, we have liberty, the following the Ten Commandments is not the issue. Following the statutes that God gave us in times past is not the issue. Becoming that like as of Israel, which we're not, is not the issue. And they'll think, well, just live it up, you know. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you shall die, what the Epicureans believe. You know, they give you that attitude that, well, this must be how you are. Well, then, the Word of God is not important, just certain parts are. Well, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 is very clear. It says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So for the grace believer that believes the Apostle Paul was the minister to the Gentiles, that he was given the dispensation of the revelation of the mystery by which we're saved by trusting in what Christ did and not in ourselves, there is still truth here that we are His workmanship, that we are created in Christ Jesus, that is ordained that we need to walk in those things that we're called to do. There is a responsibility as a grace believer. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 again. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And let's look at verses 1 through 9. 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 9. Now notice this. It says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that, whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. Notice this now. He says we are sealed and we are saved. Okay? So when he shares that we labored of our works being accepted of Him, would have to be that which we do for Christ's sake, right? Back in Ephesians, look at chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1. In verse 6 and 7. Ephesians 1, 6 and 7 says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. The accepted of us as individuals into the body of Christ is complete and is taken care of. Right? Those who are believers who have trusted in what Christ has done. Okay? But, I said but, so that means there's something different, right? But there is is an acceptance that's based also on our labor. Not dealing with our salvation, but our workmanship, our labor, what we do once we have trusted in what He has done for us at the cross and count on that, we become His workmanship, ordained to how we become as grace believers and how we live. And we see that truth on not things that are debatable, not whether you like something or I like something, not debating on something that the Scripture is not, you know, giving us a statute to how we live. Sometimes we dwell on those things that we don't like about somebody because of how they are. They have nothing to do with our doctrine or the Scripture. And we spend more time on that than basing on our doctrine and judging ourselves and how we need to be and how our brother ought to be. So that the doctrine is clear for correction, for rebuke, for those to be stronger in the faith. And if you'll notice, go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 again. And look at verse 10. There is an acceptance that is based on our labor as believers. And there is a judgment that we will have. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look at verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in His body, according to that He hath done, whether it be good or bad. So the liberty we have is not a liberty to license, to just live it up. In fact, those that have that attitude have either fallen from the faith. It's not that they're not believers or saved anymore. When I say fallen from the faith, it's the faith by which they realized when they were saved, when the Holy Spirit came into them, and they're trusting again in those things of the flesh that will be burned up. They'll be burned up when they stand before Christ. There's no reward. They'll be saved. They don't lose their salvation, but they're missing their separation as believers here on this earth. The things that are done in the body, a lot of people, you know what they think of right away? Whether it be good or bad, you know what they think of? Their sins again. If you see where sin says, for we must all appear, and I used to be read this all the time, and I would act like I was great, and I knew inside myself I would be worried to death and sick and think, well, am I really sick? And this is where they would call what they would call revival. People would come and speak, and they could make a person that you would think, you know, they could make anybody feel as unsaved as they could be, and they would use these scriptures, you know. They would cause people to doubt. It would bring emotion. They would bring excitement, and then, you know, the church would be full, and 2 weeks later, it'd go back to the same old thing. And this is the scriptures they'd use to scare people to death. They'd make it about sin again, when sin was already taken care of. If you can't get this out of your mind about sin being taken care of, these scriptures will not be clear to you, and you'll always be confused in what He's meaning when it comes to the judgment. And it says in verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. The things that are done in the body isn't the sins, it's the works. That we are His workmanship. It's the things that we're to do after our salvation. Those are the things. Don't misunderstand now. Don't get me wrong. The sins in your flesh can bring out bad works. So I'm not saying, just don't worry about them. Just, you know, do what you want and do good works. Okay? Because the sins that you do in the flesh, okay, they can bring about bad works, can't they? Those works will even be tried of what sort they are, won't they? Your sins are forgiven. You still may suffer, though, consequences of committing sin here on earth also. There's things we do on earth that are wrong that there are consequences for. That's natural. Paul even mentions what? We reap what we sow. So I'm not taking away the fact that because the sin's dealt with, that when we sin, there's not consequences. Okay? I'm not being light on that. Okay? Reaping the consequences of sin in a person's life, though, is not God's judgment. Okay? Let's be clear on that. A lot of people think, well, he's getting just what he deserved. Well, no, he ain't. If we got just what we deserve, we would all be hell-bound. That's not God's judgment. If a drunk driver is driving down the road and he's drunk, and he runs off the road and hits a pole, and he dies hitting that pole, is that God's judgment? No, that's the consequences for him being drunk and irresponsible driving a car, is what it is. And it creates a bad work, doesn't it? That's not God's judgment. Reaping the consequences of sin in a person's life is not God's judgment. If someone commits a crime and dies, they can't say God killed them. If someone dies of a health problem because they don't take care of themselves, they can't say, well, God killed them because he didn't take care of himself. It would be a natural consequence, is what it would be, of reaping what they sow. Okay? Just turn real quick. Hold your place here and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm going to get nowhere where I want to get. It's y'all's fault. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Look at verse 9 through 15. Where God says, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest." That means it's going to be wide out in the open. Okay? "For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." I've always, as I read this week, I always thought, saved by fire, killed by fire. You know, there's some term that people would use. I can't remember the term now. But anyway, there was a term, I promise. We need to understand that Jesus Christ is the righteous judge. Right? He is the righteous judge. Scripture says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. For your sins? No. Sins are taken care of. It's for your works, of what sort it is. At the catching up, I believe we're going to have an account. Okay? And that account will be to who? It will be the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 4:4. Look at 1 Corinthians 4:4. "For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord." 2 Timothy, look at chapter 4. Second Timothy chapter 4, look at verse 1. "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Quick are those made alive, they are resurrected at his appearing, the others at his kingdom, the great white throne judgment." But who does it? Who's in charge? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Look right on down in verse 8. "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me all that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Who does it? the Lord Jesus Christ. We will stand sometime before a righteous judge. Would you agree? Absolutely. Saved or not saved, you will stand. Saved, it's not about your sins. It's not about your good or bad works of whether you did good or bad things in the flesh, but it deals with the works that you've done. You're not judged today for the consequences of where you mess up. Right? That's consequences. You'll reap what you sow, but that's not God's judgment. Here's the thing I think about. When we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ being judged, today, what do you see in court in your day? You know, today, I think of Johnny Cochran. A lot of y'all may not know who he is that are young, but there's a persuasion today that goes on, isn't there? I mean, you know, I can remember when I got my first ticket, a guy that went to church with us, Dad knew him very well, and he was a district attorney. And before court, I went in with Dad, and, you know, we sat down and talked. There was a persuasion, but a lot of people got this idea of how the system works, and they got the idea that, well, you know, I'll be okay. But what I want you to understand is he's a righteous judge that paid your penalty, that you don't have a sin death to die because he died that sin death. And when it comes to your judgment, he is not going to be persuaded, okay? Because he's going to judge you in what? In righteousness. Okay? So understand, I don't say that to scare you and put 100 pounds on your back. Okay? But the issue is, if you're a believer that understands the grace message, there is a responsibility that you have as a body of believers, and that is a ministry of reconciliation. Not for glory upon yourself, but to give glory to God for what He's done, that people need to hear the message. And your works are going to be tried, they're going to be burnt up, and you'll stand there with nothing before God, or you'll receive the rewards of the things that you've done for the glory of Christ, of Him in you. And He will not be persuaded. He'll judge in righteousness. Thank God. Rejoice in the fact that this judgment does not deal with your heaven or hell bound. He took care of that and you trust in that. But you will be judged for your works. There is then a judgment for believers. Jesus Christ is our judge. He is our Savior. Scripture shares He bought us and He purchased us. Why would we not think He would not judge us? Right? If you buy a dog, okay, I know this is a bad example, I just thought, but if you buy a dog and you raise that dog, you're going to judge that dog by how you raised it, right? By the way, I'm not calling you a dog or anything, but I just want you to understand just the natural how we do things in life and things that we're over. Why in the world would we not think any different for our righteous judge who died for what you deserve? Why would you not think that there is a responsibility to our Creator? Is that not insane? But as life goes on, we're selfish people. We want to do what we want to do. And we've learned to just shut it out like it's not important, don't we? How sad is that? Where's our motivation? To our Creator, who loved us enough to die for us? Or is our motivation to ourselves? Because it will be shown. Amen? It's going to be judged.